Thank God for another Lord's Day. And I want to repeat this. Every time we have an opportunity to meet like this, be grateful, be happy, and let us show forth the joy of our Lord Jesus in our greetings one to another. Do you know that we have entered into the third month of the first quarter of this year? It's so quick. Very soon, New Year's become Old Year's, and then we are pressing on. How is your spiritual life? How is your family worship? How is your walk with God, dear friends? Coming to church is good, but walking with the Lord away from church, at home, in the workplace is better, more important. This morning's message is entitled The Good Shepherd. And the Psalm 23 is well known. It is called the Pearl of Psalms, the most wonderful statement of gospel truth and hope and God's wonderful loving care for us. The Lord is my shepherd, is useful in every occasion. When you get married, it is good. When there is bereavement, it is good, even better. Under every circumstance, to know that we have a shepherd, do you know him? Oh, my friend, it is something to sing, to listen, to read. It is another thing to really walk with him and to know that you have a good shepherd with you. Please turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. John's Gospel, chapter 10. Before I read this, let me just digress a little. Talking about sheep and shepherd, do you know that this wonderful psalm was thought out based on a fact of creation? God created sheep, a special kind of animal, so that the story about sheep and shepherd are all conceived in the mind of God, so that the things said about the sheep and written about the shepherd and the fold and the behavior and conduct and the way of life of sheep and shepherd is all ordained in the creation story. God created sheep different from all other animals. Do you know that? Some of us have watched National Geographic and watched those animal stories. How great herds of buffaloes or other great animals migrate in great numbers with their own leaders whom we do not identify, but they're able to move in great groups and defend themselves and go looking for another place to live with the climate, with the change of seasons. They move in great groups. Have you ever seen buffaloes, for example? Now let me ask you a question. Has anyone seen a group of sheep migrate? Running together from one country to another as the buffaloes do. God made sheep very different, very unique. You know, I saw a film, television. When they needed mutton for dinner, goat, the boy of the family, age 12, would catch a sheep by the hind legs, and the sheep drags along without a sound. And at the slaughter place, knife is laid on the throat without a sound. And then you have mutton chops for dinner. Sheep are very docile. They do not protest. You try that with your cat, you'll be bitten 10 times. Oh, dear friends, all we like sheep have gone astray, is what we are told. And he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And before his shearers, he's dumb. You catch a sheep and cut off the fur, the wool. Does a sheep protest? You put the knife to the neck of the sheep. No protest. That is a picture of, firstly, the Son of God. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, he opens not his mouth. How did this scripture come to be written? Because God created sheep unique, different, so that we may understand the story when it comes. God sent his only begotten Son to be as a lamb for our sakes. And not only a lamb, but also to be a shepherd. How can it be? Oh, yes. Because our great shepherd himself became a lamb. For our sakes, he humbled himself, gave up his glory, gave up his power. Now he is able to talk to us. A wonderful lesson this morning in John's Gospel, chapter 10. We are not going to read every verse, but I have some selected verses. Please follow. Verse 1. Here is the Lord Creator, the one who made the sheep. That way, he speaks to you and to me. Are you ready to listen? Verse 1. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say to you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, he's a thief and a robber." In the Holy Land, this is a common occurrence, especially in the desert areas. And there are thieves, robbers, among the wandering tribesmen called the Bedouins. And they are out for no good. So they don't go in by the door. They slip in some other way. Now the illustration of this applies to the church today. We are a sheepfold. But from time to time, now we see this happen in our own BB church. Every church, local, is as a sheepfold. Not every fold has a good shepherd. I've observed this for now 58 years, ever since we began the first BB church. In the beginning, everybody's all right, only one church, because one church has one shepherd, one pastor, and everybody behaves. When you are 30, things begin to change. Why? Verily, verily, Jesus says, he that enters not by the door, he creeps in some other way, because he has a different agenda. And then he begins to teach something else. We say we have the one true, inerrant, infallible, preserved Word of God here. They say, oh, we can't understand it. It's too old-fashioned. We need new Bibles. So they bring in. These are thieves and robbers. Ultimately, maybe not now, not seen today, they may preach the gospel still, but there is an ultimate degeneration and they go into ecumenism because other people use those Bibles. You are identified there. NIV, New King James and others, because there is an identification, because the source is corrupt. Because the translators are ungodly men, unsaved men, even though they have got enough gospel there to enable people to be saved. That's beside the point. We're talking of the direction, the allegiance, your identification. Jesus says, there will be those come into the church who will not preach the old gospel, but they bring in something new, something that is not quite right. They are thieves and robbers. Verse 2. He that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. And thank God we have men who remain faithful. Let me ask you, will you remain faithful 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line? Will you still stand firm, unmovable, steadfast, proclaiming the word of God, inerrant, infallible, unchanging? Verse 7. Jesus says to them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. In other words, you have to enter into the fold by Jesus. He is the door. The old-fashioned sheepfold in the Holy Land is made with a wall of stones, maybe 3 feet high. And that's enough to keep out intruders and wild animals. And inside that enclosure, the sheep are kept at night. But to enter the enclosure, there is a gap. That is the door. And at that door sleeps the shepherd at night. A good shepherd values the sheep as his own life because he is dedicated, devoted, given to the sheep. And such is our Lord Jesus. You know, God the Father has on earth only one thing, the sheep of his love, those whom he has saved by the blood of his Son, Jesus, such as you and I, we are God's heritage. Please remember this. Whoever you are, you have come in by the door of Jesus Christ. You have heard the gospel. God sent his only Son, and he went to that cross as a lamb led to the slaughter for you and me. And that faith alone saves, nothing else. Now you're in that sheepfold. Thank God. So, will you remain faithful? Now, verse 7. Verse 8. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. Verse 9, I am the door. There at the door to the old-fashioned sheepfold, not like those in Australia, they're very different, or New Zealand, where the sheep outnumber the men. There everything is electronic control and highly mechanized. Shepherds drive in motorized vehicles with dogs that do all the job. Now in the Holy Land, there is a shepherd and maybe 30 or 40 sheep, and they all follow him. Now the picture that we are talking about is that old-fashioned sheepfold, old-fashioned shepherd, and Jesus is the good shepherd, and we belong to him. And he cares for you and for me. Now let's read what he's going to do. Verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. A shepherd is a very knowledgeable person. You don't learn this in classrooms, you know. You learn it in the wilderness, in the outdoor country, together with exposure to weather, to changing terrain, to dangers of wild animals. You cannot be a good shepherd if you're afraid of wolves and tigers. No. Lions, yes. Remember what David said. A lion came and took a lamb out of the flock. I went for him, grabbed him by the beard and killed him. Amazing. At the risk of his own life. So here we are talking of a different kind of shepherding. And that gives us the picture of how God cares for you and for me. Our Lord Jesus came to be that good shepherd. And he, at the risk to his own life, saves us out of everlasting death. So, verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. No other door. There are no other saviors today. The gospel is modified in many churches. In England especially, now the gospel is to include those migrants who have other religions, Muslims. They want their practice incorporated into the church and into the government, into the laws of the land, so that now they have also called to worship for the Muslims coming out from mosques and so on. But we stand fast, dear friends. It will be a difficult day. If it ever comes to Singapore, thank God we have a government that is very, very balanced and sound, that there is freedom of worship. Verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Pause and think. Coming to this church, receiving Jesus as your Savior, walking with Him, belonging to this flock. Be faithful, because Jesus was faithful. He kept the faith. He laid down His own life. Where does it say so? Verse 15. All right, we jump a few verses. The Father knows me. Even so, I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. That is the only way into the sheepfold. There is no other way. You have to come by the blood-sprinkled way, by the way of the cross. That is the door. No other door. Please, we continue to preach the old gospel of the cross. For I'm not ashamed of the cross of Jesus Christ, my Lord, says Paul. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jews, to the Chinese, to other people. So here we are. Jesus says, verse 10 again, I am come that they might have life. The whole idea of belonging to this sheepfold is that you might have life. You say, I have life. I said, please understand, we are talking of two kinds of life. Physical life you have. Do you have the inner spiritual life? The life that goes beyond life. The life that is given only through the giver of life. Who is it? Jesus says, listen carefully, the second part of verse 10. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. His life is not physical life. If you value your physical life and live for it only, I say, you are the saddest man on earth. If that's all you have nothing, because that life will sustain you for a short 70 years or less, and if by reason of good health and strength, 80, you reap in the end what? Labor and sorrow and the wrath of God. Everlasting perdition and destruction in hellfire. That is all. That's all you have. If this life only you have. But Jesus says, you come to this church, consider, I don't give you the promise of this life to prosper, although you may prosper in the Lord because of His grace. But the life that we receive from the great and good shepherd is more abundant. Verse 10. You will have that life more abundantly. What is Jesus talking about, more abundant? It is a life that even now tells you, you are a child of God, adopted into God's family, even as your physical child, young people, first child, firstborn, wonderful, crying away, growing up, looking like mommy, like daddy. That kind of life has a limit. God gives you a life that is Jesus' life. His life that He gives to you is the life that sees Him through death, burial, resurrection. Life that goes beyond the grave. This is what He's come. And we must remind ourselves of this fact every day. How we live must be determined by the life we have in us. We live different. It is the life more abundant. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. This is the one purpose that Jesus came for. Not to set us a good example as such, or to be a hero and martyr for a good cause. Those things many people have done. Not too long ago, a lady in Pakistan, following in the footsteps of some of her relatives who had done the same, to be assassinated for a good cause. And all the people now hail her as hero, heroine, because she was willing to give her life for some good cause, and she is hailed as a great heroine. Was Jesus a great hero, a martyr for all people to see that He lived a good life and He had a good cause? Jesus says, I came to give my life a ransom for many. A ransom to buy us back to God. That is all there is to the gospel, that we are bought back, we are purchased, and we belong to the Lord Jesus, and we are in this, the sheepfold. This is the one thing that identifies you from the world, that identifies all of us, that we are in the world, but not of the world. We have Jesus as the good shepherd who gave His life for us. Verse 14. It is repeated. I am the good shepherd. Thank God for the good shepherd. Every day thank Him. Do you? My dear friends, I want to tell you this again and again, even if you may get tired. I hope not. But tell me more about my Lord Jesus. I don't know enough about Him. I want to know more. And how can I know more about my Savior, the Good Shepherd, the Wonderful One, the Son of God, who came, who lived, and who gave Himself for me on the cross to give me a hope of life, the channel of life? Tell me more of my Good Shepherd. I said, that is a good thought. And the only way to really know more about Him and to know Him intimately is for you to search the Scriptures. Coming to church here is good. Don't give up. And pray for the preachers, Pastor Quek and myself and others who preach here. Pray for us that we continue to tell you about the Good Shepherd. But that is not enough. You must inquire. You must take time off. to study the scriptures, which are all the word spoken by the good shepherd. Then you begin to understand what is the love of God, what is the will of God, what is the purpose of us. Why did not God save us and take us immediately to the heavenly place? Why not? It's a wonderful thought, isn't it? Yes or no? I said, no. God saved us to leave us here, to be a representative of the Good Shepherd. On earth, he has no other representatives, only we. How you live your life is an example of the Great Shepherd, the Good Shepherd. We are ambassadors. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. He knows you. This is the most comforting fact. I'm sorry, I've told you this before. I tell you again, I don't know all of you. For the physical limitation that when numbers increase, there will be some whom we see as one of a thousand faces. We can't even remember the face, not to say the name. This is the limitation of the physical factor here. Dear friends, we have a wonderful shepherd. The one who created all things, whose wisdom is beyond our computation. We don't understand him. He knows all of us here in this church, in other churches around the world, as many as will believe on him, he saves. He knows. He knows your name. I said that is the greatest comforting factor when you become a Christian and say, my Savior knows me. Yes, so good. We have a friend of my father's who has so many sons and daughters. And he meets them in the train station. He said, hey, young man, you look familiar. Who are you? He said, yo, daddy, you are me. Wow. How disappointing to the son, isn't it, that father doesn't recognize him? But here it is. The Word of God tells us, Jesus, who died for you, knows you by name, everyone. And how well do you know him? He is the Good Shepherd. Do you know his love for you? What he has done for you, the meaning of the cross, the meaning of resurrection, the meaning of his coming again. Oh yes, is that promised? Of course. The great and good shepherd. You remember how Peter denied the Lord and the Lord says to him after the resurrection, he says, Peter, you loved me. Yeah. Second time, third time. And then the Lord says, Peter, go. Feed my sheep. I'm leaving you this commandment, and I'm leaving you a work you are to do. And from then on, Peter began to really serve his Lord. Willing to go to prison, he did. Willing to die for him, he did eventually. How well do you know the great shepherd, the good shepherd? And Peter says, when the great shepherd shall appear. Ah, that's a great thought, isn't it? We shall appear together with him in glory. This is a promise. How well do you know the great shepherd, the good shepherd? Read on. Verse 15. The Father knows me. Even so, I know the Father. Those who keep doubting about Jesus' divinity and deity, they should read these verses. As Philip says, Lord, who are you? And Jesus says, Philip, have I been so long with you? You don't know who I am. Those who have seen me have seen the Father. God reveals himself to us through Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. You have seen him in the scriptures. You have seen the Father. He is the representation, the expression, the revelation of God. How do you know God? By knowing Jesus Christ. So he is the great shepherd, the good shepherd. He laid down his life for the sheep. Verse 16. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, meaning to say, you people who hear these words at this time are all in the Holy Land, talking to Jews. No, but there are others who are also of the fold, non-Jews, Chinese, others, other races. They will come. They're not of this fold. Verse 16, them also I must bring, because he is the good shepherd of these others who will believe on him. They shall hear my voice. They shall be one fold, one shepherd. Amazing. So we take great pleasure, dear friends. I thank you for all those who are blessing the people in the Philippines, in Sri Lanka, those who have met with terrible disasters, natural disasters. Think of the people in the Philippines. He just wrote to me another letter, Pastor Digna Disi. Even while they are contemplating how to repair the damage of the typhoon, they were visited by a flood. He says, 10 days non-stop, it rained and rained and rained, almost like the days of Noah's flood, not quite. And again, the church is overflowed to several feet with water. These are also the sheep of the Great Shepherd. And thank God we are giving the opportunity to help others, because they are all of the same flock and the same shepherd. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life for the sheep, and I may take it again. This is all at the root of all these blessings we have today. The very fact you can come to church, sit down quietly, hear a gospel being preached to you, sing together the Psalms of Zion, the songs of salvation. How come? Where did this blessing come to you? How did it come to you? Verse 17, because I lay down my life, because Jesus was willing, because he did not resist captivity, because he was spat upon and scourged and beaten and insulted, and he lifted not his hand or raised his voice at any time. How can it be? Answer, because he is the good shepherd. And God sent him for the one purpose, that he will take all the blame and punishment and insults and injury for us. That through his suffering, through his death, we might have life and have it more abundantly. Verse 18, no man takes it from me. For Jesus said, you think you're so great? If I were to call for help from heaven, God will send at once 12 legions of angels. And where will you be? Jesus did not, when he could have. This is the manifestation of love. He could have escaped all those things. He could have been completely free from the pain and the torture of the cross. He did not. Verse 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself, because I am the good shepherd. Because I know when I lay down my life on the cross and I have given up that life, I shall bring forth much fruit out of that one. There to come a whole string of, whole army of believers who will believe on me, because Jesus will rise from the dead. Where does it say so? Verse 18, I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. Third day. Oh, dear friends, thank God always for that glorious third morning. Every Lord's Day, make it different. On this day, my great shepherd, my good shepherd, conquered death and rose from the grave. That glorious third day showed forth who my good shepherd was. When he went to the cross, it was the purpose of God. No accident. God planned from before the foundation of the world that His own Son will come and be our good shepherd. Verse 18, the last part again. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father, that I must go to the way of suffering, the way of shame, the way of the prisoner, that I may die and then set the prisoners free. Who are the prisoners? We, you and I. We all have been prisoners of Satan and sin. And Jesus went as the good shepherd, and there He set the prisoners free, you and I. Now we will look into that great Psalm 23, and you will understand it very much better. Who wrote this psalm? David! Oh, God sent His Spirit to this shepherd boy, someone who was the youngest in the family, despised, unwanted, unknown, unsung, unheard, just cast away. Who is he? He is the youngest. He looks after the sheep. There God met with him. I said, dear friends, don't demean yourself and say, well, I'm a nobody. How can God use me? God can use you. If you will be a man after God's own heart, who was he? Who was this man after God's own heart? Meaning to say, one who always is jealous for his Lord. Ever since he knew God and Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, he lived all his life for that wonderful shepherd, the good shepherd. So, David was on intimate terms. He knew his shepherd. The shepherd knew him so that he could write this, because he was a man after God's own heart, a man in whom God's Spirit came and inspired him to write, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord who made me, the Creator of heaven and earth, He is my shepherd. And I know how much He loves me because I feel it, for I care for my Father's sheep. You know that? David did not belittle his occupation, his responsibility. My Father has entrusted me with the flock, and I am responsible. I love the sheep because they are my Father's. And in the same way, Jesus Christ loves us because we are the Father's. Verse 2, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know, God in Jesus Christ knows all your needs. Today, we are in a good position financially, economically. Singapore is not too badly off, but you never know. But even in these circumstances, there are those who are in need. Where do you turn to when you are in need? Whom do you cry to? In my memoirs, I'm sharing with you how we went through the Great Depression. The Great Depression happened once only in modern times, only once. And all the world was shaken by the Great Depression. And many people who were millionaires became nothing but heirs, no millions. And they jumped. Yes, these are true stories, you know. But do you despair because of financial and other material difficulties? No. Verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. You trust Him. He will lead you to the place where there is sustenance of green pastures. He knows every place, and He is your shepherd, the good shepherd. He leads you beside the still waters. Without water, you die in a week, right? And He knows where the good water is. He restoreth my soul. You're tired, you're sick, you are despairing because of your problem, whatever it is. Come to Jesus. He will restore you. He'll tell you, look to me. Why do you bear your burden yourself? Come to me. Tell me your problem. In my ministry, I get calls from various people, including people from America. Our people migrated there. Please pray for my wife. Please pray for my son. Ah, that kind of faith God honors. To cast your care upon him, knowing that he cares for you. Do you? The Good Shepherd is always available, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Call on him. Call on him often. Listen to him after you call. Read his word. Obey his voice. He restores your soul. When you are so sick and tired and hopeless, in despair, wondering, where will my help come from? Jesus is there to help you. He leads you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Don't be afraid. Death is only a shadow. The reality of death. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? We thank God in Jesus Christ, the great shepherd. You have victory over death already. So death cannot overpower you or cause you to despair, because death has lost its sting. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Comfort me, meaning to say, give me strength to go on, that I will not despair and give up. No, don't. Whatever your problem is, God is able to solve it for you. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. This table is a wonderful table. You know that every time you come to this table of remembrance, you are looking forward to the greater table. And that is a table he prepares for you. Blessed are those who are called to that table that God prepares for those who put their trust in him. Are you? Thou anointest my head with oil. You honor me with the wonderful oil of salvation, oil of glorification. My cup runneth over in God. In Christ our Lord, there is no limitation to his goodness. It runneth over. Yes, whatever your need is, he supplies to overflowing. He does exceeding beyond what you ask or think. Yes, we are wonderful God. He is our good shepherd. Finally, our memory verse for today. You would like to read with me all together. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Once more together, please. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever because of the good shepherd, your shepherd, my shepherd. Love him, serve him every day. Thank God for the good shepherd. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, grant that we may know our good shepherd better day by day. To know him through his word, to love him in prayer, and to serve him in our life. Bless your people, that all who know him will walk with him day by day. In Jesus' name, amen.